Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makos, Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the end of the previous shiur, we were introduced to a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding the issue of Hasra's Sofek. That's a Hasra that at the time it is given, it is not clear whether the Avera will be violated. Generally speaking, this is a function of a gap in time between the time that the warning is given and the realization that the Avera would be violated. The Gemara at the top of Daf Tes Zayin Omid Aleph, about 4 lines from the top, suggests that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan derive their shittas through inferences based on a comment of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Utravayu Aliba Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says. Both of them, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, are going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at the side. We have a Tatnosei, that's a subtopic heading, Lav She'ein Boi Maisa, a violation that's stated in as a negative mitzvah, negative precept, where there is no action involved that constitutes the violation. Eloikin Olov Oiloi, whether there is Malkus for such a violation or possibly no. Back in the Gemara, we have a Tanaic source that deals with the issue of leaving over korban meat, sacrificial meat, beyond the allowed time. When that happens, it's called noisar. The way noisar is treated is by being burnt. The pasuk says, and it's found in the context of a korban pesach, v'lo sosiru mimenu ad boiker, that one should not leave over the korban pesach meat until the morning, v'noisar mimenu ad boiker, that which is left over till the morning, the pasuk goes on to say, bo'esh tisareif, that it is to be burnt in the fire. The structure of this pasuk is that it starts off with a negative command, lo yisosiru, and it continues with a positive command that follows, bo hakosuv litein aseh achar lo yisaseh. The pasuk provides a positive command after the negative, loimar she'ein loikin olov, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we can say that this is a form of a lav hanitak laasei, a lav that's followed by an asei. And as a result of the asei coming after the lav, so Rabbi Yehuda suggests that there's no malchus. Rabbi Yochanan dayek hochi. Rabbi Yochanan, whose shita was that a hasra sofek is a good hasra, he infers it as follows. Taimo de bo hakosuv. The reason that there's no malchus over here is because there is an emphatic, an obvious statement of an asay that follows the lav. Hol loy bo hakosuv. Had there been no asay, positive command that followed this negative command, loike, there would have been malchus. So let's think about this. There's a person who's shechting a Korban Pesach on Yud Dalid Nisan, and he eats that in the evening. When the Korban Pesach is being prepared, so one would issue the warning that you better be careful. Do not leave it over. Is it clear that he's going to leave it over? Not at all. It's a suffix. He might, in fact, eat it. He has all night, according to certain deos, in which to eat it. And yet we say the inference is loke, he would have received malchus if he left it over. Alma, we see from here hasra sofek shmo hasra, that hasra, a warning given to the potential offender, even though it's not certain that it will ever come to a violation. As we mentioned, there's a time factor that stands between the warning and the actual eventual violation. And yet, Shmo Hasra, we see that he would have received Malkus. That indicates that it is a binding, it is a good, it's a valid form of warning. Reish Lakish Die Kochi, Reish Lakish, whose shita is the Hasra Safek Lo Shmo Hasra, infers it as follows. Taima Devoa Kosov, the reason that there's no Malkus is once again because there is an Aseh that follows the Lo Sase. Ha Lo Boa Kosov Loike. Had there been no Aseh following the Lav, there would have been Malkus. Alma, we see from this, Lav Shein Boi Maise Loikin Olov, that a negative command that is violated with inaction, namely like leaving over the meat, by simply leaving it over, he is in violation of Nosar. Lokin Olav, there would have been Malkus. So the reason for Malkus would have been because of there is a Lav Shein Boi Maise. The Gemara asks, V'Rav Shimon ben Lakish nami ha vaday hasra safeku. But according to Rav Shimon Lakish, is this not an example of a hasra safek? And we see from here that if not for the asay, if not for the positive command that followed, there would have been malchus. Namely, it seems from here that hasra safek would have constituted a good hasra, and that's a kasha on Reishitas Reish Lakish. So the Gemara answers, Sovar lo ki idoch tana de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, who claims that Hasra Sufik is not a good Hasra, is based on another presentation of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanya. We have a Tanaic source. This source features a case of a woman who was divorced, or possibly became an almona, but she married within 3 months of the first husband, and then 7 months later she bore a child, and it's not clear whether that child is fathered by the second husband, namely a 7 month pregnancy from the second husband, or it's a full term pregnancy, a 9 month pregnancy from the first husband. This child then grows up a bit, and in order for this example to make sense, we would prefer the case where the first husband didn't die, but rather he divorced the woman, and within 3 months of the divorce she married a second man, which is an improper thing to do because we want to determine who the father is in the event that there is a 7 month in the event that she gives birth to a child when she's in the presence of the second husband. Therefore, the halacha says she should wait 3 months before remarrying. By waiting 3 months, we would then notice whether she's pregnant or not. But in this case, she didn't wait the 3 months, and a child was born after 7 months with the second husband. This child grew up, and then the Brisa says he kazeh v'chozer v'kazeh. He struck the first man, the first possible father, and then he struck the second one. Kilel zeh, v'chozer v'kilel zeh, or he cursed one and then cursed the other. Hika shneim bevas achas, o kilel shneim bevas achas. He struck both of them simultaneously, or cursed them simultaneously. Chayav, according to the Tanakama, these cases result in guilt. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bevas Achas Chayev, Bozeh Chazeh Poter. If he does the hitting at one time simultaneously, then he is guilty. If, however, he hits them one after the other, he is Poter, he is exempt. Why is it that if he hits them one after the other, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is he exempt? The reason for that is because at the point that he's about to strike each one of them, he gets a hasra, but the hasra is based on a suffix. We don't know if this is his father. It's true that at the end of the day, after he's hit both of them, he has certainly hit his father, but it's at the time the Hasra is given, the Hasra is given under Suffolk circumstances. And therefore, from here you see, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Hasra Suffolk is Loi Shmo Hasra, and this is what Reish Lakish's Shita would be based on. Rabbi Yochanan Nami Ha Vadai Lav Shein Bo Maisehu. The Gemara now turns to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who originally said, and we saw this at the end of the previous shir, that Lav Shein Bo Maisa Ein Lokin Alav, we see from the case of Nosar, Lav Shein Bo Maisa does get Malkos. That's what we see in the case of the Nosar. So how does Rabbi Yochanan deal with that? So the Gemara answers, Savar lo ki ha di omar of Idi Barovin, omar of Amram, omar of Yitzhak, omar of Yochanan. Omer hoya Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Ko loisa sa shibatura lav shein boi maise loikin alav. Any negative precept in the Torah, a lav that involves an action, and by doing the action he is in violation of the negative precept, he will get Malkus. Lav she'ein bo'i ma'isa, ein lo kin olav. If it's a lav that's done through inaction, through non-action, there is no malchus. Chutz mi nishba, umeimar, umakalas chaveru b'shem. With three exceptions, someone who swears falsely, one who does a tamura. Tamura is the replication of kedusha from one animal that happens to be holy already, and one states that he wants this kedusha to be present on a similar animal. That's called tumura. Vamakala is chaver b'shem, one who curses his friend using the name of God. So we see from this presentation of Rabbi Yehuda that says the name of Yossi Glili, we see the lav shein bo'i maisa ein lokin alav, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan said at the top of this omid. Well, tasha d'rabbiuda ad rabbiuda, but we seem to have a contradiction within the shitos of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara explains, either Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, if you're focusing on Rabbi Shimon Lakish, it would seem that regarding Hasra Safek, there would be a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda's. So the Gemara answers to that, Trei Tanoi Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. There are two versions of Tanoim as to what Shitas Rabbi Yehuda really is. Just to go over this point, we saw in the case of Nosar, the diuk was made that had there been no asay after the lav, the Nosar would have resulted in Malkus, even though the hasra that was given would have been a hasra suffik. We saw in the case of hitting of the two possible fathers, the same Rabbi Yehuda held that Bozer Harzer Potter because Hasra Safek is insufficient. So the answer that this, the Gemara provides, is that there are really two different versions of Tanoim as to what Rabbi Yehuda really said. Now, E the Rabbi Yochanan, regarding the issue of Lav Shein Boi Maise, we would seem to have an inconsistency. In the case of the Nosar, we had a case of Lav Shein Bo Maisa, and there would have been Malkos had there been no Asay afterwards. Then we have another case of Lav Shein Bo Maisa, where we say there's no Malkos. That was the Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Yossi Aglili. Once again, a contradiction. So the Gemara says, Lo kashya, ha dide, ha derabe. There's Rabbi Yehuda's own shita regarding Lav Shein Bo Maisa, and that is, according to this, that there would be Malkus. And then you have Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili that was quoted a few lines up, that says, Lav Shein Bo Maisa, ein lokin alav. So once again, there's no contradiction. It represents two different shitas. Tanan Hossam. Before we go further, let's glance at the side of our Gemara. The Nosei, the mitzvahs shiluach hakein, ma dino shel mi she'ovar v'notal eim al habonim. With regard to the mitzvah of sending away a mother bird in order for you to take the chicks or the eggs, which is called shiluach hakein, what is the din regarding someone who was over, who violated and took the mother bird?
while she was on the nest.
The Rabbi Yochanan, Benosaf l'shiluach hakein, yesh rak oid mitzvah echad, shayidei bitol ho'asei, shebo achar halav, yischayev b'malkas.
According to Rabbi Yochanan, in addition to shiluach hakein, there's only one other example of a mitzvah which has a lav that's followed by an asay, that through the bittul of the asay there will be malkus. In general, according to Rabbi Yochanan, all lav hanitak la'aseis, all lavim that are followed by positive commands, will not have malkus under any circumstances. There are two, however, that there is a possibility of malkus arising if he is mevatel the asay. Apparently, the ability to be mevatel the asay doesn't exist in any other mitzvah.
Turning to the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, Hanoitel Eim Al Habonim, one who takes the mother bird while she is nesting on the offspring. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Loike Ve'Eino Meshaleach. This man is to receive lashes, and sending away will no longer help. According to the Chachamim, he has an option of still sending away the mother, even though he took her incorrectly. If he sends her away, it will spare him from Malkus. The Tanaic source states a rule that all mitzvahs asay that have a positive command following the negative command, there's no malchus, ein chayav lo, there's no punishment of malchus that follows.
Amar Rabbi Yochanan, anu ein lanu ela zois ve'oid acheres.
Rashi, where you notice there's a star that we've written into the Rashi,
Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein lanu ela zo ela zois ve'oid acheres, klomar,
Mishaleach v'eino loke. We expect him to send away the mother that he took improperly and thereby spare himself from Malkus. Ha lo shalach loke. If he doesn't send her away, he will get Malkus.
For Rabbi Yochanan, bitlo v'lo bitlo islay.
Rabbi Yochanan holds that the exemption of Malkus in the case of lav shenitak lasei is kol zman that you weren't mevatel the chance of being mekayim the asei.
U'mashmale mishaleach dikotani. And it's mashma
to Rabbi Yochanan that the mishaleach that's written in the Torah, mishaleach lichshiyirtze, he is to send her away when he wants. V'eino loike, and doesn't get malchus. V'emasehu loike, at what point would he be subject to malchus? Kishiargena v'ivados asebi adayim, when he kills the mother bird, and thereby voids the possibility of being mekayim the asay, and he voids it by his own action.
This is what he meant when he says we have only this and one other. Klomar,
even though the Mishnah says something in a sweeping rule fashion, that's mashma all negative commands that have a positive command that follows it are equal to this.
Anu ein lanu bekulan shava lezu she poter amalkus toli bekumasei.
We don't have, in fact, other mitzvos that the exemption of malkus is dependent on the fulfillment of the asay. Ela
bein kaim bein lo kaim poter.
Whether he fulfills the asay or doesn't even fulfill the asay, he'll be exempt.
Elazu v'yodacheres, except for this case and one other.
The mishkachas bohen the loki al yedei bitol haasei. In two cases, we find that there is going to be malkos because of canceling the asei.
The ilu bekulu lo mishkachas bitlo ela bahani trei.
In all the other cases of mitzvahs with lavim that follow them, that with the lavim that are followed by asays, in all of them there's no possibility of bitlo, with the exception of these two.
So once again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he is observing that Shiluach HaKain is the only example. It and one other mitzvah are examples, are sole examples of lav shenitak laseh, that the exemption from the malkos is not by the mere fact the Torah writes it, the aseh after lav, but the exemption is going to be based on his eventually being mekayim the aseh. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Anu ein lanu elazois ve'od acheres. We have this, namely Shiluach HaKain, and one other mitzvah. Amar Lei Rabbi Elazar Hecha. Rabbi Elazar asks Rabbi Yochanan, where is that other mitzvah? Amar Lei Lechi Tishkach. Go and find it. Nofak Dok Vashkach. He went out and was medayek and found what he was looking for. That other mitzvah. Desanya. Here it is. Oines Shigiresh. A rapist that married the victim, and we say that his marriage to her must be permanent, but he didn't listen. He violated and divorced her. Im Yisrael hu machzir ve'eno loike. If the offender was a Yisrael, so he remarries her and spares himself a malchus. Im koyin hu loike ve'eno machzir. If, however, he is a koyin, and a koyin is forbidden to take a grusha, so, well, he violated and is not able to mekayim the aseh. So loike v'eino machzir. Ha nicha lema detani kimo v'lo kimo. This analysis that we just said, that you can find malkos without the you have malkos because of lo kimo. This works out according to the opinion that says that the lav is violated immediately, and he has a chance to spare himself by being mekayim v'aseh. The Rashi on the third line under the Gemara says, "Honi cholamad etani lo kaimoi loike." Mishkachas bay malkos below kaimo. We can have malkos in the event that he's told by Beis Din, listen, you divorced her, you have to take her back, you have to remarry her, and if he doesn't remarry her, he will be immediately subject to malkos. Elulaman de Tony bidlo vol bidlo. But according to that school, the Rabbi Yochanan school that says that the lav is not completed until he is mevatel the chance of being mekayim the asay. So Bishlam al Gabi Shluach HaKain Mishkachas Law. With regard to Shluach HaKain, then we can see how there would be Malkus by Bitlo, namely if he shechts the bird. If he shechts the mother bird. Ela Oines Bitlo Volo Bitlo Hechi Mishkachas Law. How do you apply this analysis of Bitlo Volo Bitlo to the case of the Oines? In other words, where would there be circumstances that, as we said before, im Yisrael hu loike, that if he's a Yisrael, he's loike v'eino machzir, and then he doesn't have to take her back. How can you have a case of loike? Loike would mean that he was mevatel the chance of being mekayim the aseh. So the Gemara answer is kagon shekibo lo kiddushin me'acher. It would be an example would be where she was mekabel kiddushin, she became married in the interim to someone else. If that be the case, so then the first offender would not be able to take her. She's already married to someone else. Omar Rav. Rav challenges this Hesber. E shavise shaliach. If she made him into a shliach to mekabel kedushin on her behalf, ihi kama vatlole, she is being mevatel the aseh. Why should he get malchus if she's responsible for violating the aseh? If this second husband was not made into a shaliach to makabel the kesef kiddushin, kol kamine v'lo klumhi, does he have the power to accept kiddushin from her when he's standing in the face of the ma'anes, the rapist who is supposed to marry her? So either way, it's hard for us to accept this answer that the bitlo by onus would be a case of kibel law kiddushin. Ela omar avsimi minahardo, attempt number two, kagon shidira barabim. The rapist issued a neder in public, forbidding her from receiving hanov from him. Mudir bahano. This approach works according to the opinion that says that a neder, that a vow that's taken in public, has no rescission, cannot be undone. So if that be the case, so the neder would stand, and that would be the bittul of the aseh. But if you say that a neder shehudu rabim can be undone, my ikah lememar. So, how can you say that there should be? How could you say that there should be malchus for the Yisrael in the event that he's mevatel the chance of being mekayim the say? He's not mevatel the chance of being mekayim the say, because even if he did a neder shehudu barabim, it can be undone. So the Gemara answers, demadira lo al das rabim. The neder that he, that the ma'anes makes, is a neder with the knowledge of the public. Yoma meimar hilchasa neder shehudu barabim yesh lo hafora. However, al das rabim ein lo hafora. A neder that's simply taken publicly, that can be undone. A neder that's done with the approval of the public, that cannot be undone. And a neder al das rabim would constitute the bitul of the mitzvah say of remarrying her. And hence, we could see that that there would be malchus for this type of lav shenitik laseh, which the aseh is nitan, is given for voiding. That's through the neder shud al das rabim. At this point, the Gemara asks, are there no other examples of mitzvos losase that have a kum v'aseh that follows them, and that there could be malchus, even though it's a lav shenita v'aseh, there could be malchus, because there is a chance of being mevatel the aseh. And as we can see through the markings, we're going to have a series of comments, v'ha'ika, are there not the following, and we'll see different examples of mitzvahs that one could actually be mevatel the chance of being mekayim the aseh, and there should be malchus for it. V'ha'ika, and before we go on, we just want to take note of our markings. We see a triangle, which is one of our series markings. It's explained on the side under the Mivneh heading. Chipus achar dugma ois noisofois. We are going to search after other examples of mitzvos where you have a loisase, shenita klase, and there could be malchus upon the voiding of the possibility of being mekayim that particular mitzvah sase. So why is it that we said that we have only the example of notel eim al habonim, the issue of shiluach hakein, where the lo saseh, don't send away the mother, is followed by the aseh, don't, you know, just don't take the offspring, and the aseh stating send off the mother, and we could void that aseh by slaughtering the mother, thereby warranting malchus at that point. And we said also einus shigiresh, in the event that he takes a neder al das rabim, which would void the possibility of his ever remarrying her. But are there, and it was said that there are, We have this, that's Rav Yochanan said, we have this, only these two examples. V'ho'ikah, and there's a simen in the parentheses in the Gemara, Gezel, Mashkon, and Peah, as a reference to the three other examples where this could arise. So the first one, Gezel. The Rachmona Omar, the Torah says, Lo Sigzel, that's the negative command. Veheshiv es Hagzela, that's the positive command. It was, Thou shalt not steal. And Veheshiv es Hagzela, return the stolen item. Mashkon, the example of collateral is as follows. The Rachmona Omar, Loi Sovo El Beso Lavoit Avoito, don't go into his house to take the collateral. Hoshev, that's a negative command. Hoshev toshiv loy eso avoy kivo hashemesh. And the positive command says is that you shall restore the article that you took as collateral before sundown. And these examples, umishkachas lo b'kayim v'lokimo, ubitlo v'lobitlo, these can be set up according to both approaches, that of Reish Lakish and that of Rabbi Yochanan. The case of bitlo velo bitlo, which is most germane to our discussion, is a situation where, let us say, if the person stole something, and the Torah says you shall return the stolen item, or in the case of the mashkon, you shall restore the collateral. Is it not possible that he could, if he, let's say, gets rid of the items of the stolen item or of the mashkon? Would that not constitute a bittul, a voiding of the possibility of being mekayim the asay? And so even though the Torah sets it up as a lav shenitak lasay, it's not definitive that there will be no malchus. There could be malchus in the event that he voids the possibility of mekayim the asay by destroying the items. The Gemara answers, in fact, there is no voiding of that possibility. Hosam kivan the chayav b'tashlum, in the event that he would destroy the stolen item or the mashkon, he would still be chayav to offer compensation, financial compensation. Ein loike umashalim, we do not impose two penalties, malkos and paying as well. As a result of that, since there's always going to be a chiyuv tashlumin, there will be no chiyuv, there will be no penalty of lashes. Maskif law, Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera raises a challenge. Why did you say above there are only two examples of lav shenitak la'asei that could result in malkos through the bittul of the asei? Is there not another example? Ha'iko mashkenu shoger umeis hager. Is there not an example of someone who took collateral from a convert? And the convert is a type of individual that, as a result of his conversion, he leaves no relatives. And because he's now become a Jew, and that anyone that he was related to beforehand is no longer considered related to him, in the event that he that someone took from him a mashkon, and the ger died, and the one who took the mashkon destroyed the mashkon while the ger was alive, and the ger then died, he has no one to pay back to. So is this not an example of a lav hanitak lasei that cannot be fulfilled because of his having destroyed the mashkun of the ger? So the Gemara answers, Hosam gavra bar tashlumenhu, the one who took the mashkun, who eventually burnt it, he really is obligated to pay. The obligation of payment still rests upon him. The only thing is that through the death of the ger, we say v'shibuda de ger, the claim of the ger, hu de kopoka. It is that which became null. But as far as the takers, the one who took the item, and his obligations still stand. There's simply no way of carrying out that particular obligation because the claim of the ger became nullified through his demise. Another question. V'ho'ikah, is there not an example of payah? The Rachmona Omar, the case of payah is the leaving a corner of the field for the poor. The Torah says, lo sechale pa'as v'chule, do not completely harvest the entire field, including the last corner of the field. Le'oni v'lager tazoi v'osam. That's the mitzvah saseh. The negative is lo sechale, and the positive, which follows it, is you shall leave it for the oni and ger, which implies that if you did harvest the entire field, then even that which is harvested, at least leave that for the impoverished.
Demishkachas lo bekaimo velo kaimo ubitlo velo bitlo. This too can be set up in the Reish Lakish fashion of kaimo velo kaimo, that if he, after going to Bezin, he's told to leave it and he doesn't leave stuff for the poor, he'll get lashed immediately. And according to Rabbi Yochanan as well, bitlo velo bitlo, there is a possibility of him being mevatel this the payah by consuming it, and there's nothing left to give to the ani. The Rashi in Dibur HaMaschil Mishkachas Lo Bebitlo Kegon Shetochan Esachitin. This example, by the way, will not be stated expressly by the Gemara, but the example of Bitlo, of being Mevatel, the chance of being Mekayim the Asay, of leaving something for the poor, would arise in the event that he grinds up the grains. There's no longer an asay to fulfill. That through converting the grain from grain into flour, as a result of the grinding, so the owner of the field, the one who did this, acquires the grains that were theoretically going to be part of the payah. He acquires it through the change in status. The source that we're about to read will be telling us that while it's still in chita form, still in grain form, there is an obligation of giving it. The inference would be that if he, however, went a stage further and ground it, there would be no longer any payah obligation. So we see an example of a lo sase, lo sechalapas odcho, and an ase, leoni velagir tazavosam, and it's not an automatic exemption from malchus on a permanent basis, but it depends if he is mevatel the ase or not. So we have another example of something that lends itself to such an analysis, just like we said before by the Oines and the Shiluach HaKein. And the question arises, why did Rabbi Yochanan say that there are only those examples and not this? The Sanya, the source that we read now, is, as we just mentioned a moment ago, in the learning of the Rashi, this source will show us that there exists a chiyuv of peah, even if he harvested the entire field. The chiyuv of peah exists as long as it remains a grain form and not turn into flour. Mitzvahs peah, lahafrish min hakoma, the original, the basic mitzvah of peah is to leave it in standing stalk form, namely, don't harvest the corner of the field. However, lo hifrish min hakoma, mafrish min ha'oimrim, if he didn't set it aside while standing, but rather harvested it, so he should leave it over in sheave form. Lo hifrish min ha'oimrim, he didn't leave over sheaves either for the poor. Mafrish min hakri, he can mafrish still the peah when it's in a pile. Ad shelo mireach, until the winnowing. Mircho, if, however, the fellow, the owner, did the winnowing of the grains, me'aser, he should at that point take off meiser first, the no saying lo, and then give the poor the payah from that, from the tithed meisros, from the tithed grains, from the grains from which he already removed meiser off the top, so to speak. As we saw in Rashi, this source demonstrates that the chiyuv peah continues, but only up till the point it remains in grain form. That is essentially the end of a long question. As you can see from the long question indicator in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, you see a kuf with a circle with a triangle around it that parallels the triangle in the text Vehoika, with a dashed vertical line indicating the length of this question. So the Gemara answers, as far as Rabbi Yochanan would be concerned, he learns like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Af Mafrish Min Ha'isa. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there is an obligation to leave the payah even in dough form. That means that even if he ground it up and made it into flour, he still is not voiding the possibility of being Mekayim Payah.
The Gemara asks, Rabbi Shmuel, Nami Mishkachas lo de'ochal Esav. But even according to Rabbi Shmuel, there still is a possibility of his avoiding the possibility of being Mekayim the Asay of Peah by eating that which was that, by eating the dough that he prepared. So, the question once again is, why did Rabbi Yochanan say there are only two mitzvahs that have that characteristic? There's this as well. Ella, the Gemara recalibrates itself. The Gemara now is going to embark on a long point, and we've labeled this with a nun, a circled nun that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a dashed vertical line indicating the length of this point. This expression, which came from Omer Aleph, and if you want to find where it comes from, take advantage of the arrow that you see on the left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Omer Aleph. You turn back or scroll back to Omer Aleph at the same side of the text, namely the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and try to find a parallel arrow. And you do when you glance at the third wide line on Omer Aleph. In the middle of the line, the expression Zos Veod Acheres appears. That's under Rabbi Yochanan's name. So what is meant by Elo Zos Veod Acheres? Aho is referring to this. The second mitzvah, namely in addition to Shiluach HaKein, the second mitzvah is referring to Peah. Peah being an example of something of the Aseh that could be voided. Avol Oines Loi. But the case of Oines is not a good example. Why did we think it was a good example? Because you could void the possibility of being Mekayim the Aseh, of taking her back, by having made a neder al das rabim. The Gemara to that is going to respond over here. Dehecho amrinon al das rabim ein lo hafor. When is it that we say that a neder that's done with the knowledge of the public has no undoing? That's ledvar horeshus. That's when the neder concerned a matter of option. Avoladvar mitzvah yesh lo hafor. But when dealing with a mitzvah, and in this case we're dealing with a classical mitzvah, the mitzvah of taking back the divorced anusa. So here we're dealing with a mitzvah. So when it comes to dvar mitzvah, as the Gemara goes on to say, avoladvar mitzvah yesh lo hafor. It does have the ability to be undone. Ki ha dahu makri dariki, davaposha binuki. There was once upon a time an instructor of children who used to posha binuki. Rashi says, make oisam yosemidai. He used to hit them too much. Adre Rav Acha. Rav Acha issued a neder that would result in his no longer teaching the children. Vihadre Ravina, and Ravina came and undid that neder. He undid that vow, thereby enabling this Malamed Tinoikus to be restored to his position. There was no one that was as careful, as precise in their teaching practices as this one, as this guy that used to hit them too much. So you see that for mitzvah purposes, the vows can be undone. And hence, as far as examples of mitzvahs aseh that follow los aseh, that can be voided and hence resulting in malchus, even though it's a lavshin itikla aseh, we only find two examples of that, and they are the case of Shiluach HaKein, where he would slaughter the mother bird after he took her incorrectly, or the case here of Peah. But the case of Oines Shigiresh would not fit into the category of bitul hoasei. V'echol nevelos utreiv v'shkotzer v'mosem v'chulei. The Mishnah mentioned that for consuming these different types of forbidden creatures, there would be malchus. Omar Rav Yehuda. Before we go further, we have a nosei, the topic heading malchus al achilas shkotzim. The lashes for consuming different types of creepy crawling creatures. Omar Rav Yehuda, Hai man de ochal binisa de bekarba. One who eats this creature, it's a toilas that's found in kruv, some type of worm that's found in a kruv vegetable. Malkinon le mishum sheretz ha sheretz ala oretz. he gets lashed because of he's violating that particular pasuk.
Hahudocha binisa de bekarba. An incident happened that someone actually did consume this creature. Vinagde Rav Yehuda,
and Rav Yehuda was consistent with his teaching, and he lashed him.
Omar Abai, ochal putisa loke arba.
One who eats a putisa is a sheretz hamayim. He gets four sets of lashes.
Nimola loke chomesh.
One who eats an ant is deserving of five sets of lashings, and the additional one is mishum sheretz hashoretz al haaretz.
Tzira loike sheish,
for eating the tzira creature, which is a flying type of sheretz, he gets five lashes because of sheretz hashoretz al aretz, and an additional one, the sixth one, mishum sheretz ha'oif, because of that pasuk.
Rashi goes through in greater detail how to conclude the different numbers of averis, but we see multiple sets of lashes because of multiple averis with regard to the consumption of these creatures.
Omar Rav Achoy, Hamasha is Nikovov,
one who needs to relieve himself in the facilities and tarries and delays and withholds himself,
Over Mishum Lo Seshaksu.
He's considered violating that posuk, which says that you shall not behave in an abominable fashion.
Omar Rav Bei Vaibarabai, Haiman de Shosi Bekarna de Umna,
one who drinks using as a straw the tube that a bloodletter uses in his work. The bloodletter tubes are filled with dam. One who drinks his cola using this utensil, the karna de umna, is called ovar mishum lo sishak. So he's violating that teaching that one should not do disgusting things. So drinking with a straw that's essentially the tube of the bloodletter is disgusting.
Omar Rovo Bar Rav Huna, Risek Tisha Nemola Vehevi Echod Chai Vishlimum Likazayas.
One who ground up nine ants, and being that they're very small creatures, the nine ants were less than a kezias, and then he brought a complete ant, another one that was alive, and the live ant plus the nine ground up ones equaled a kezias. And a person ate that. So, loke vov. He'd be high of six sets of malchus.
Chamisha mishum bria.
Five, because of consuming a complete living organism.
The echod mishum kezias nevela.
And we said five sets of malchus because of eating a bria, and one set of malchus because of eating kezias of nevela. Namely, the ground up ants and the live ant just before he ate it also was dead. Rashi points out as he swallows it, it's dead. So, therefore, he's chayav mishum nevela as well.
Rabo Amrav Yochanan afilu shnayim vehu.
Not only nine and one, but even two, grinding up two and the third being a live ant would be the same violation.
Number three, Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Echod Vehu,
even one other ground up ant and the bria would, if it equals a kezias, the above sets of malchus will apply.
For lo pligi, there's no machlokus between the different deos we just saw in the Gemara, between Rava Bar Rav Huna and Rabom Rav Yochanan and Rav Yosef,
Vats Velo Pligi Ha Baravavi Ha Bezutri.
If the ground up ants were small, you would need more of them to participate in completing a kezias. However, if they were large, then you can get to a kezias even with fewer.
Ochal Tevel Umaisir Rishon V'chulei Omar Rav.
The topic before we go on in the Gemara is stated on the side, Tevel Shel Meiser Oni.
That means you have produce from which you removed
the different necessary tithes. The one tithe that you did not remove yet is the Meiser Oni, the Meiser that's due to the poor man. Peros Shirak Meiser Oni Lo Hufrush. We're talking about fruits, that the only thing that's lacking from their tithing is the Meiser Oni separation. Omar Rav, Ochal Tevel Shel Meiser Oni Loike. Rav says that one who eats the produce from which all the hafroshes were taken except for the Meiser Oni is subject to Malkos. Kiman, Rav is based on whom? Ki Hai Tana Desani, like the following Tanaic source. Omar Biyosi, Yochol Lo Ye Chayav Elo Al HaTevel Shelohuram Mimenu Kolikur. Is it possible that there is no violation of eating Tevel with the exception of the case of Tevel from which nothing was removed? Huram Mimenu Trumagdola, if Trumagdola was removed, Velo Huram Mimenu Maiserishon, but the Maiserishon was not removed. Or a case of Maiserishon Velo Maiseroni, where he tied the Maiserishon and did not tie the Maiseroni. Continuing in the list of possibilities, the Afilu Maiseroni, where everything was tied, the Maiserishon and the Maisersheni. Maisersheni is the tenth of the produce that one is expected to bring to Yerushalayim and eat there. So if the Maiserishon was tied but not the Maiseroni, the Meiser Rishon velo Meiser Sheni, the Afilu Meiser Oni Minayan. From where do we know that if Meiser Rishon was removed and not the Meiser Sheni, or possibly yes, the Meiser Sheni? Actually, for the sake of accuracy, let's just point out that Meiser Sheni is noeg in the first, second, fourth and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. Meiser Oni is noeg, is binding during the third and sixth year of the seven-year Shemitah cycle. And the question that the Braisa presents, Vafilu Meiser Oni Minayan, and from where do you know that even if the Meiser Oni was not tithed, he's also in violation? Tamad Lomar Lo Sucha Lecho B'Shorecha. One pasuk says that Ulahalon Hu Omer Vi'ochlu B'Shorecha V'Soveu. Ma Lahalon Meiser Oni. Just like over there, the pasuk says Vi'ochlu B'Shorecha V'Soveu is a reference to Meiser Oni. Afkan, the pasuk that says Lo Sucha Lecho B'Shorecha is a reference to Meiser Oni, that the produce still has in it the untithed Meiser Oni. V'Omer Achmona Lo Suchal, and the Torah issues a negative command, indicating, as Rav began by saying, that if one eats produce that's whose only tithe that wasn't removed was the Meiser Oni, he's subject to Malkos. The issue of Meiser Oni establishing the produce as Tevel will be the subject of the Gemara as it continues, which in Mirza Shem we will see next time. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.